Blog Talk Radio.
Massive Attack's brilliant song, Teardrop. And why would we have Aurora on? I hasten to add, Aurora being a Norwegian a singer-songwriter who is aged 25, who has had a very successful career over the last 5 to 6 years, writing both albums and songs and producing such, and playing keyboards as well as doing her quite distinctive melodies and tunes. It would be because the Tonight Show is on Aurora's. And so with all of that, I welcome my co-host. Hello, Hatter. What did you think of that voice?
I struggled a little, but I think I got...
Well, I thought you might.
I think I got
it. But,
yeah.
Quite remarkable. Quite remarkable range.
Took some more.
Deb? It was different way to open the show. Deb, what did you think?
I thought she had a very, very
haunting feel to her voice.
I agree.
What did you ask?
I agree. Something
was
almost ghostly.
Was the song? I'm sorry. You
yeah.
asked me about the song?
Yeah, the song.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I did.
Sorry. Yeah. Who was that again? What was her name?
Aurora. Aurora, a Norwegian singer.
Wow. Very haunting.
So there you go. It is very haunting. As I said, very ghostly almost. And we have a we have a caller. We have 440. Hello, 440. How are we?
Hello.
Hello, Stephen. And is that Stephen and or Kay, or is that Kay and or Stephen, or is that just Stephen?
Just Stephen.
Just Stephen. Oh, there you go. There you go. So yes, I don't think we've played Aurora on a team of voices before, Deb. So, you know, we've had many different artists and many different tunes and many different songs, but I think I've introduced a brand new singer there to a team of voices radio. So if you're listening in, nice to have you, particularly all European listeners. So, Stephen, you're coming by, I'm hoping, to talk about the wonderful world of auroras or something similar.
Well, something, yeah, that has to do with it anyway. I did write, this is a pre-write from a while ago, but I've written about the Northern Lights
yes.
in more than a few times.
And
You've actually seen them from Ohio?
There's certain times of year that we're supposed to be able to see them, but it seems like every time that time of year comes around, it's very cloudy.
That works like that. Yep.
That's what happens with
natural
some
phenomenon.
Weird solar event going on. I can't ever see them either, except for the
eclipse
time. In the last 10 years. That we were able to see.
No. I had the same thing in New Zealand, Deb. I convinced my then partner, who was in New Zealand for a very short period of time, that we should drive 3 hours up north because there was a major volcanic eruption occurring at Mount Ruapehu in the centre of New Zealand, and I kind of like volcanic stuff. And so we went and drove 3 hours up there, only to find that there was a bloody great big cloud. You couldn't see a thing. See the base of the mountain, a bloody great big cloud.
Okay, I have a question. When you say partner, do you mean as in work or as in you were like on a date? And do you take dates to volcanic
eruptions? This was when I was still with my ex, Deb. So I was married, and I convinced my ex to come across to New Zealand, and that didn't go very well. She wasn't very excited about New Zealand. Well, not particularly about Wellington. And I thought, well, we'll go. Okay, cool. We'll get out of Wellington. We'll drive 3 hours. We'll see this volcanic eruption. That'll be fun. And there was, this mountain, base of the mountain, a bloody great big cloud. That was it.
Oh, boy.
She was even less impressed then.
That's so sad.
It's perfectly good volcanic eruption. You couldn't see the bloody thing. It sits right in front of us. Anyway, all you could see was a cloud. So, anyway, that's life. These things happen. Stephen, I've got your poem up on the board because there actually was some lightning that we could hear in this volcanic eruption. Not that helped or saved me from the fact that it was a bloody great big cloud and you couldn't see that either. But we have your poem up on the board.
All right. Yeah, this was actually for a contest, and the picture was the prompt, and this is the direction I took that picture. I call this lightning.
Okay.
A truly magnificent sight, trotting with ease across the snow, 16 points and full of strength, but with nowhere to call home. Still, he's full of determination, making his way north, something drawing him that direction, a trip that's full of worth. The northern lights have called him. He is moving as fast as he can. Though it's cold, he feels warmer. This seems to have always been the plan. Finally reaching his destination, Aurora Borealis speaks to him. You're meant for grander undertakings, and your name shall be Blitzen. and poem.
Aha. That'll work. And being that old softy John Coe, he went for that, didn't he? You know, the Christmas touch and all of that. So congratulations on your gold for that. It was very neat. Deb, did you want to say a few words about Blitzen and reindeer in general?
Yeah, absolutely. For one, yeah, congrats on that gold. But I really love that by the time we got to the end, we were meeting Blitzen. That was such a mega touch. And I agree, it probably grabbed him and helped you win that gold. But your rhyme is great. Your read was great. The details are great. But I'm very, very enchanted by that last stanza. Finally reaching his destination, Aurora Borealis speaks to him, "You're meant for grander undertakings, and your name shall be Blitzen." I love the closing stanza, Stephen. Great share.
Thanks, Deb.
Blitzen.
I feel like we're heading into Christmas already. You know, the Christmas carols are playing in the supermarkets, all that stuff. Hannah,
oh,
do you have a few words about Christmas poem?
Yeah, I like that. This is a great twist at the end. For the Aurora Boss to actually speak to him, and it's also knighting him, Blitzen. Great to the picture.
It is great to the picture. You're
right. What are some of the legends of the Northern Lights? Does it actually in one speak or give wisdom to? Or I know that at one time they were afraid of it. Some of the Northern people were afraid of the Northern Lights, but I don't know the history of it.
Yeah. I'm not sure either. I do know that in quite a few Christmas specials, though, they're brought in where they do speak, and actually that's what Rudolph's nose is made from, is from the Northern Lights in one of the specials.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Anything from the Southern Lights legends there?
Well, the Southern Lights are nowhere near as impressive, Hatter. Mostly. It's mostly the Northern Lights that get all the attention because they're more colorful and they're around longer.
Okay. So there is a little difference in the intensity.
Yes, there is. Yes. The Northern Lights have most of the attention because they deserve to, Hatter.
You know, it's strange that in space there is no up and down, no north and south, and that we lock our minds into that field, that dimension, north, south, you know, up, down, and in space, that's not, viable.
No.
They did.
No. But
You do know, Hatter, that the
aurora were first described, of course, by the Greeks, because they described everything first.
Okay.
So,
what's the meaning behind, is the word actually created for the event, or is the event named specifically for?
That is a very, very good question, Hatter, and I'm very, very glad you asked because I was just reading about it. So bear with me.
Okay.
Because my understanding is that Aurora is, again, from the Greek, and the ancient Greek poets used the name metaphorically to refer to dawn, often monitoring its play of colours. And it ended up with Aurora being derived from the name of the Roman goddess of dawn, Aurora. So the Greeks sort of went with dawn, and the Romans named it. There you go.
All right. Yeah. So it's all Greek to us.
All Greek to me. Yeah. And then a bit of Roman sort of put on top of it. Now, Stephen, you're about to say something before we got into all historic stuff.
Well, yeah, Hannah talking about space, it made me think of, I remember they read something where they did an experiment in space where they had spiders up there and wondering how lack of gravity would cause them to make their webs. And it didn't affect them at all. I'm not sure what that proved, but they still made perfectly symmetrical webs and without gravity or anything, they were able to figure it out.
Okay. That's funky.
So they're saying they're not affected by gravity in that how their structure is made.
Yeah. But apparently not,
Interesting.
Well, it's interesting, Pata, because Mars has auroras as well.
Ooh, oh, it does.
Mars has auroras. Yes. Because they just occur, you know, due to magnetic radiation and that magnetosphere disturbed by the solar wind. And of course you've got a solar wind on Mars, a solar wind here, and you've got little particles sitting in the atmosphere well above Mars as you do here in Earth. And so, you know, you excite those protons and electrons and you get auroras in Mars the same you do in Earth.
How about that hexagon they found on the top of Saturn? Did you see that?
No, I've got no idea about that.
Hexagon?
No, I didn't see that. No, I haven't seen that. Why not?
It's quite remarkable because it's not supposed to really happen in it's never seen in space that way, but it's a hexagon. And it's something to do with the magnetic field of the planet.
Excellent. Oh, there you go.
Or it could
be. Google it.
No, I will Google it. Now, Deb, I have a question, because Stephen has to go usually fairly quickly, but do we have the collaboration in a form that we could share before he departs with Blitzen and
all the other reindeer towards
the north?
Yes, I put it on the board. Tried to tweak it a little. I guess we will see how it goes together.
We shall.
Just tell me when you guys see it.
What's our number?
I can see it.
Number 62. Oh, what it scored or collab number 62?
Yeah, what it scored. What scored?
Six something, I think.
That's due to me, Hatter. I repeated lines.
Yeah, but
it was a tough picture to go to. It sort of was.
Let's see what you think.
Okay.
It's called "As the Piano Man Sings, Tickling His Ivories." Here we go.
Okay, hold on. Let me get to
painting.
It.
Oh, okay.
I don't have it yet.
No worries.
Oh, I haven't got it.
My phone is messing up.
Did I put it on the board? Yes, I did. Everybody got it?
Got it.
Piano man, what? I had it and it blinked off. Hold on. Invoices. Oh, shit. Come on.
So, hi, Stephen. Long time no see. Didn't I just hang up on your show?
I got it.
Alrighty then. This is called "As the Piano Man Sings, Tickling His Ivories," a blind collaboration between Jay Hatter and Upon Rains AP. Out painting the town, making animal sounds, attracting only the birds, but welcome to the Toucan Club, down in Alley Rare. See dancing geese with cold, wet feet. And there are stairs for bicycles and ducks if you care. Inside sits the kettleheads and queens eating black beans with a goose on the loose on the floor, taking over the entrance and scheming about mail. People sit with their backs to the door, suspending all services to Peking on threat to jail. Artists' brains are quite insane, but writers can't be bothered as they eat hot cuisine with everything from soy. on the duck, duck, what the cluck, no chicken fricassees, sits as morsels on the plate, so hunger still a toy. Sitting next to a date on the wall, at the waitress says, welcome to the Toucan Club, down an alley rare. Now we're tipping bands with feathered hands for two eggs over easy and under a bird's watchful eyes a stripper spare. At the pub, the virgin white geese pay for a week. So welcome to the Toucan Club, down the alley rare. A dancer with horns is on stage faking porn, where curls meet style plus a dash of savoir faire. Sitting neath the kitchen door, barking orders across the floor, are candles and waitstaff, as pretense confiding. A banana skin slips and broken right hips, and the pain is kicking butt. But the music and the baby grand, formality abiding. Hunting in ways like the bad Broadway plays in a statement of elegance here in Melbourne town. Clear tones and saxophones, how to play with a honk. Perspective to alter once, take those steps down. A bicycle seat made from white geese will get you a room for a month. So grace those fears and join here in the rarest air. For dancing stars that never go far, why can't I get that back? Welcome to the Toucan Club, down in Alley Rare. And go up.
Oh. Looking at your lines.
I thought you did that well, Deb. Because I sort of did a holistic sort of repeating column, which made it a little bit harder. And you sort of picked that up as you went along, which was very clever.
Thank you. Yeah, I kind of liked the repeat because it made it, it was like driving it or adding a little bit of humor to it in that repeat. And then it was perfect to end with as well. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm just going to have to clean it up a little bit, though, because I stumbled a couple of times trying to read it.
Yeah, duck, duck, what the clock? Ain't no chicken fricassee. I was really stretching to get the lines Deb was asking for. I had to do some extra for some reason.
That's why I did longer. I did longer.
How dare he be inspired? How are you growling? God.
He was. Jesus. Yeah, it's got to get me terrible. That's what we're
going
to get. Jesus.
At least you could have just wrote one statement about each one. grumpy pants.
I even told her, I said, two of his might not be so good to drop two. I don't know. Give me one.
And then that's right. In the middle of the lines, you put something about not being able to see. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, is that a line or a comment? So
I wrote two. 13 and 14 was special. Something about it. That's all I got. I can't see anymore.
Yeah, and you're like, 16 lines is a lot. I'm like, oh, well, AP sent 16. I need more.
The last one counts. This one does too. And then I wrote real ones.
I think the picture is really cool, and it made.
I
look at that. Yeah. And like the cat's all slinky on the stage, and there's a toucan over the top. I mean, it's just really funny. And then the
it is.
Sight. Scenes that you guys put in there, and I'm still a little confused as to why those virgins were paying for the week. I think that was a little bit backwards. Maybe somebody might have paid them for a week. I don't know, but I'm cracking up trying to piece it together. Just saying. On stage, faking porn. I know what Hatter was thinking.
Right, no, well, maybe porn. Not. Stephen. What did you think of this little piece of entertainment?
I liked it. The descriptions were pretty cool. I put in my comment, how do you get to the Toucan Club? Since the descriptions speak of animals being the patrons, I was picturing Muppets. So that tells me I must go north on Sesame Street and hang a left on every rare.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Hadn't thought about that.
North on Sesame Street, hang a left down the alley rare. That's too cool.
Yeah. That's pretty neat. Pretty neat. I thought that's cool. Very cool. Now, Stephen, can you hang with us for a little while, or do you have to depart for bed left?
No, I do have to go to bed. Normally I am off on Sundays, but this time I have to work because of the holiday. So,
you better
say what's coming up. Our next show is Monday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, the Mortuary of Shadows, at a special time because I have to get up early on Tuesday as well. And it is a dark Thanksgiving picture prompt. Take a look at the pictures and see what they inspire.
Good work.
We just pick one?
Sounds like too much fun. Wonder what's being served for dinner that night.
That's Vincent Price. He's in one of the pictures.
Uh-oh.
Excellent. Righto, Stephen. Thank you. Always a pleasure.
Good night, Stephen.
Yeah,
have a good night.
Yeah.
Thanks, Steve.
Yep.
So, Hadda.
Yeah.
How did you find this topic to write to? The wonderful world of auroras.
Well, I was trying to think outside the box a little bit, but...
Yes.
I ended up going where I didn't think I would, as far as the angle... But
really?
I think it turned out okay. I think it turned out okay. I was able to describe a personal, on like a bucket list, for lack of.
It worked.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let us get it on the board then, Hatter, and
I got two.
So don't panic. We've both got two. This is good. But you're kicking off.
Cool.
So I've got bucket list up there now. Did you want me? Are you happy to read, or did you want me to read it?
Well, bucket list isn't the one I wrote for the.
It's the other one, is it? We'll get the other one. From Upside Down, the Aurora Australis.
There we go.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'll find the group. I'm having a hard time finding the group. Okay.
It's up there now, Hannah. Oh, God, no.
Okay.
No, it's not, because I've just the second time. That was clever. Bear with me.
It keeps jumping. Everything keeps jumping. I can't find it.
Yeah, I know.
Everything keeps jumping.
I'm trying my best.
Okay, I got my bucket list. I see that one. I got bucket list on up here.
I got that twice now. I've got the other one now. I've got it now.
Okay.
From Upside Down, Aurora Australis, the Southern Lights by Jay Hatter.
Okay. Come on. I just need to go back a page. Come on. And, plug in, I don't know. I'm going to run out of power here. Hold on. Jeez.
Uh-oh. Don't do that. There's not going to be any auroras if you run out of power.
Okay, there we go. Okay. Oh, come on. Okay. Oh, all I see is dubs. Let me paste it. Okay, yeah. Okay, got it. Geez, that's an effort. From upside down.
Well,
goes like this.
Here we go.
I picked a name from my bucket list. TA, I would not miss in my lifetime to keep my eyes in view for those things that I've always wanted to do. Aurora Borealis, the Northern Lights, I swore I'd see once in my life. How far north do I have to be the Northern Lights for me to see? Alaska, I chose to see the show. The trip fell through, don't you know? For years, I might not go. Saddened I'd be if I did not go. I wonder if my list would ever mind if I did not visit the Northern Shine. The Southern Lights that I might see, they are the same, said A.P. Taylor. Instead, I'd turn around to watch the lights upside down.
There you go. There you go. No, it's interesting, Hatter, because you've reminded me of a story. And that story was that there's a very distinctive set of lights in the southern sky called the Southern Cross. And you can only see them if you're in the southern hemisphere. Yeah?
Yeah.
But that wasn't always the case. Back in Roman times, you could see the Southern Cross in the northern hemisphere. So it wasn't sort of Southern Cross at all. It's only sort of recently got there. So I sort of like the idea of things turning upside down and around, because it's actually true that stars move around depending on when you happen to be alive, you see.
That's true.
Which
the,
I think is kind of cool.
Big Dipper the Big Dipper used to look like a plow.
Yes.
You know, back in
days. And it's constantly changing depending on, you know, what sort of thousand years you happen to be in. So I thought that was kind of cool. And I like the idea of the bucket list. Deb, what did you think of Hatter's poem?
I thought the poem was awesome. And I actually had a giggle when you said the Southern Lights that I might see, they are the same, said AP. And then you said, Taylor, like we weren't sure who you were talking about. That cracked me up.
I had asked him. I had asked him, yeah.
it was just like the little extra just in case you don't know what I mean. But
I picked the
name from my bucket list to guarantee I would not miss in my lifetime to keep my eyes in view those things I've always wanted to do. I like that rhythmic mention of the bucket list in the beginning. But I like the couplets at the end, too. So great share, Northern and Southern.
Thank you, Deborah.
That's it. So that's Aurora number one for you, Hatter. I'll do my Aurora number one, and then Deb will do yours. So let us get it out there. This is a little bit lateral, but bear with me. The train that used to go between Melbourne and Sydney for 20, 30 years was called the Southern Aurora, Hatter. So...
Oh, yeah.
This is the Southern Aurora. Yeah, the Southern Aurora, with a real picture of the Southern Aurora. Off the single-lane highway, to avoid airports and a flight, there was the Southern Aurora, if you wanted to be there overnight. Get in at 7 p.m. on the eve, grab a beer and food from the bars, retire to the beds laid out, for many were sleeper cars, and listen to the clicking as the train went snaking out, slowly finding bush ahead with kangaroos jumping about. So when the sun reappeared, almost to Sydney central bound, for 3 decades it travelled between 2 capitals on ground. End poem.
Wow.
Cool. Can try Sydney central bound for 2 capitals.
So one went south and one went north. One would go from Sydney to Melbourne, one would go from Melbourne to Sydney, and meet somewhere in the middle as they sort of said hello to each other, and then they keep on going. And so they turn back around and do it in reverse the next day.
How long's the trip?
It took about 11 hours in those days.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
Wow. And is this the train you sometimes speak of that doesn't run anymore? It's an empty track? I've heard you...
No, it doesn't run anymore. No, it doesn't run anymore, unfortunately. It got sort of taken over by planes and buses, really, because buses ended up being quicker. Not as comfortable, of course. But, that was the Southern Aurora, Australian-built train and all. So there you go.
That's really cool, though, the nostalgia that you wrapped in there and paying tribute to the passing trains. Nice touch. Now,
yes.
Were one of the trains named Aurora? Is that how this poem was born?
No, it was just the service itself, Deb. So you'd
okay,
get on the
Southern
Aurora.
Okay, so they got
Aurora
to see it while they were
like,
on it.
Yeah, that's it. And so they had a little nameplate at the back of it. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Awesome.
There you go. That was the that was my little historic poem, Hatter.
That train looks like one from the 50s.
That is a brilliant guess, Hatter. It was designed in 1956.
Wow.
And would you believe four of them are still running?
Okay.
Out of 18. Seriously. And don't make them like that anymore. But, yeah,
sure
55 do. Years old.
And it'll make many things
55 years
like
old,
that.
Still going. No. So there you go. Anyway, that was the Southern Aurora.
Nothing more than a train features had a face more than a train. It seemed airplanes, maybe the nose of it.
Just the rhythm of it, you know, and the, you know, the fact that you'd get on at night, have something to eat, go to sleep, and then you'd be there the next day. It's sort of kind of funky, really.
So do you have a lot of train transportation now? We went through, I don't know how many years ago, sort of a resurgence of our Amtrak travel by train.
Yeah, there's a little bit. Yeah, the difficulty here, Hatter, is there's just not a lot of train tracks, unfortunately. So, you know, we've got one through the centre of Australia that goes from Adelaide up through to Darwin, and then we've got the stuff on the east coast and the one that goes all the way across from Melbourne to Adelaide to Perth. But apart from that, there's not a lot to speak of. We don't have a lot of railway track infrastructure, unfortunately.
So you can take a train through the outback. It's just one coast to the other.
You can, yeah. You can go all the way from Adelaide to Darwin through the centre of Australia. That train's special name is called the GAN or the GAN.
Excellent. And how long would that take?
There you go. That's about 3 days, roughly.
3 days. Now, I know Australia's got you can have the piggyback. You can have those trucks that have up to 10 trailers.
Yes.
On that
you can.
Road. Are the trains extra long? Are they a lot of cargo? Is that more of a
luxury for people? The trains, the biggest trains are those that go from Melbourne to Perth, Adam. They're the ones that, it takes about 3-4 days. The trains are decently long and carry a lot of cargo, main way that they go between Melbourne and Perth.
Is that a tourist option to they offer, you know, one of the things to do is coast to coast?
You can do it, but the GAN is more popular, the one that goes up the centre of Australia.
Scenery
to see, really.
Yeah.
There's scenery on the central one, but not so much on the one from Melbourne to Perth. Yeah.
Cool.
So, anyways, there you go.
Excellent.
Deb, did you want to do your poem, and I'll refresh my studio while you're doing that.
Absolutely. Let me grab that right there. On my way with the link. Oh, you know what? I found this amazing poem that I put on the board, too, that I was hoping. Maybe we can close with that.
Oh, maybe we close with that.
I got all
yeah,
about it until just
that,
a second when I saw it. Okay,
no,
let me see. Here's
the
stairs.
Yeah, we'll close with that.
Cool. Okay. So there is mine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called "Neath the Aurora Cousins with Stars by the Dozens." Here we go. Ebony stains the night side of Earth as stars swing on the giant space vine. Float me up to the peppermint moon to waltz on the Antarctic horizon line. Meet me in the colorful constellations. We'll ride shotgun on comet's tails. Rumba over the Big and Little Dippers and Samba as the space gases sail. Curtains are raised at the center stage for the dancing electrons and protons and light burns spiral on the sky from the blink and winks ballet of ions. Satellites salsa surfing on solar winds, bathing in neon colors as they tango till dawn rises up to announce the light. The aurora of the south tosses a glow as oxygen atoms foxtrot on solar wind. Cascades of blue-green shades collide, flashing bright tints of ice and sunlight, curving and rippling with colors inside. Radiation kisses ride the magnetic field. Watts of electrical energy generate heat. The energy travels, painting the canopy. That heat burns in lovers as they meet. End poem.
Wow, look at that.
Very neat, the imagery, Deb. It's really cute. But putting it aside, because, you know, the first image is great, too, of the aurora above the earth. Did you notice, Hatter, that this is a rhyming poem?
I did.
Oh, good.
I did.
Checking. You were following. Yeah, no. It's a rhyming poem.
That's right.
Make note of that because, you know,
yes,
Deb, one week our influence is there just one poem at a time, Hatter.
Yeah,
that's all it takes, just one poem. That's all you have to ask. And clearly there's been some influence there, which I'm happy about. But very descriptive. I love the salsering and the foxtrotting and the cascading and the curving and the rippling and the kissing and the traveling. It's very cute. I liked it a lot. Great, great, great descriptions. Hatter, what did you think?
Thanks.
You know, it was. I did like that it rhymed. This about the Roman goddess, the coming of dawn, was the coming of the sun. Is that when it shows the most when the sun is just about on the horizon, or is it? I mean, it's the reflection of the sun. From underneath, is it when the Earth goes through the path of from the Sun and the Northern Pole, North Pole, or is it more on the horizon that it was more? It's more intense. Is that a?
No, that's a good question.
They say it's the coming of the day. It's coming of the dawn. So I figured maybe
yes.
It was closer to dawn that it's most intense. And does it make? I heard that it can make a sound. Is that right?
Yes, it absolutely can make a sound. Absolutely.
Yes.
I just learned that. It absolutely makes a sound. It's got a like a static-ish. Like a radiation-ish. I don't know how to explain it, but yeah, it does say that there's a sound, and the sun whether it be during rise or setting. The sun bounces off the ice crystals in the fields, and the lights reflect off those ice crystals and toss colors around.
Yes.
And you get beautiful images of something that if you put your hand in, would fry off.
Yes.
Another example of beautiful yet deadly.
Yes.
What would it
do? Australian. It would burn, Hatter.
It really, oh,
it would burn.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep.
Hmm. I remember a piece about it, how long that the sled dogs were totally freaked out about it, the lights.
Yes.
They'd howl and...
That was all Greek to them as well, Hatter. The joke from before. I thought it was clever. Now, Hatter and Deb, we
yeah.
have a listener who has sent us in a Aurora poem, which I think is pretty cool. And they've got a SoundCloud to it. So, Jethro, we're going to play your SoundCloud now. So, given that you're listening and given that you've participated in the show and all that sort of stuff, I'm going to play it now. Here we go. This is your piece.
Mine? Who are you talking?
Dawn breaks blue. Dawn breaks grey. Apologies for the slight off voice. Among the divinities of long ago, of deity, goddess and spirit, I have tried at times to make sense of or at least understand what little I may, of who they might have been if they stepped out of myth, and instead of legend, saga, song, an epic poem, were for a while just women and men, for a while. Me? I'd like to meet a few, yeah. But most of all, I've always lived more in her realm than perhaps anywhere else. So you see, I'd like to spend an early morning with Aurora. Have her wake me with a dawn break blue. And I'll rub tired eyes awake, rise from bed, and if allowed, kiss her for her dawn breaks gray. When the light is first pale, then faded, then piercing. Then a dawn break gray turns a dawn break blue in the most gentle of ways. And poem.
There you go. I enjoyed that a lot. I really did. And so firstly, thank you for sending it in and doing the SoundCloud. But I love the thought of spending an early morning with Aurora and have her wake me with a dawn break blue, and I'd rub tired eyes awake and rise from bed to grey. I thought that was quite beautiful. I really enjoyed it. Deb, what did you think?
Yeah.
Okay, well, for starters, I totally concur. That's an amazing stanza right there. But since you got to go first and chose it, I will go all the way back to the beginning. Among the divinities of long ago, of deity, goddess, and spirit, I have tried at times to make sense of, or at least understand, what little I may. That's the same in the divinity, the deity, of men understanding women, of women understanding men, very little. That's what impression I got from that. But I thought that this was a really clever job, and one last time I'll say I really love that same stanza that AP already quoted. It was an awesome share, Jethro. I appreciate you sending us that clip. And AP, he told me to tell you thank you for playing it.
Not at all. It was excellent. I really enjoyed it, and beautifully underplayed with the voice too. It really really suited the poem brilliantly. Hatta, what did you think?
I like the way he personalized it. Like you said, there's a personal thing between Aurora and himself. I'd like to meet a few, but most of all, I've always lived more in her realm than perhaps anyone else. So you see, I'd like to spend an early morning with Aurora. Have her awake me with the dawn break through. I'd rub tired eyes awake, rise from bed. It's very good. Thought out, real thought out.
Reminds me of something you would write, Hatta, in some ways, just that sort of sense of the poem. I know it's not the words you would use, but the sense of that personal sort of touch and that sense of sort of being there, I thought was really well picked up.
Any way you can personalize that, right, and make the writer feel a different way towards anything, yeah. Well done, good spot.
Yeah. No. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a really clever share. So thank you for thinking of us, Jethro. Thank you for joining us and giving us that SoundCloud. It was excellent. So, Hatta, you've got your second poem, I understand. Did you want to put that one up on the board? I think that's the bucket list one, isn't it?
Yes, the bucket list.
I got it. There it is.
I didn't
you
realize
beat me.
I had.
Oh, I beat you. Ha ha.
You did.
Why don't I see it? I'll start it. Okay. I see Deborah's. It's not loaded yet. I'm fresh. I'm there.
We both loaded.
We're
it.
Both
everything's. Okay, there it goes. Bye. Yeah, this was out of the vault I found. I just wondered if I had ever written anything from my bucket list since I mentioned it in my first one, and the couple came up. I decided to share this off my bucket list.
Okay, cool.
I'm sensing a theme.
That's a drawing of my invention. It goes like this.
Cool.
Invited to see somewhere new, I pulled it from my bucket list. Unknown journeys that went away. And it went something like this. Buying papers to show I am and where I am to be. A bug released to kill the world, released to punish me. Who could say it would go this way, and why should it be now? Invited to go fly away all somehow. A virus called COVID. I'm sick of hearing it all. I'm stuck here on the tarmac waiting for the fall. Sudden changes, rearranges, time that passes me by. Where's the end if it just begins? No one can tell me why. I sit here thinking what could have been to meet someone I call a friend. This has never happened before. I wonder what it has in store. Maybe good things come to those who wait. I'll just have to be a little late.
Yep.
Trying to get this up there.
Just really sad. I mean, we've basically had almost 2 years, really, where nobody's been able to get here of any meaningful, reasonable, sensible reason, and it's just really sad that we've lost a couple of years. But you know, what do you do? You can't do anything more than just witness that's what's happened, and you move on and make it happen, and when it happens, it'll happen as soon as it'll be allowed to happen, you know.
The forces of the universe don't want me to go. I looked at it that way, too. They threw out the pandemic to make sure that
I think they're just making it more difficult, but I think it'll happen. So that's just my sense of it, but you're right, though.
Good thing comes to those who wait.
Well, exactly right. Deb, Steph, what did you think?
Yeah, I actually remember this one because I, by the time he was done reading it, it was sort of heartbreaking, and I put that. Actually, that's what I put. This breaks my heart, Hatter. I wish the two of you were hanging out together in Oz right this minute. And I can see you there. It didn't happen exactly when you hoped, and there's usually a reason for things. And just think. The earth waiting to move that big nugget up just a little more where you'll be able to find it. So you got to give it time.
Well, that's
just saying.
Yeah.
The flood's going to clean it all off for me. Wait.
Now, I have a question for you, gentlemen, since we are down to the poem that I brought hoping to hear tonight. Do we know what I should change this topic board to for next week?
Oh. Ah, good question. I was going to read my second Aurora poem, Deb, that I put up there. And
awesome.
And thank you, Jethro, for listening. And it was cool to be on the topic and to actually have the poem. I think that was really cool. And it's unusual for us to have two poems on a topic, can I just say, Jethro. So we've done okay with this topic, as strange as it may be. And so I was really quite excited about this because, not when I wrote it, but because the person who actually read it, Emma Cool, said, "Beautiful words and imagery, I can see the northern lights while reading this, bravo." And I sort of thought, well, that's funky because I couldn't. But anyway, here we go. This is Aurora. It goes a little bit like this. The faintest strands trace the sky's night, screaming beyond arcing and slight. Palest colours steeple towards stars, a tenuous fine weave of prison bars. As nightfall gathers pace well above, lights a presence in push and shove. Beams are streaming to waves vivid, fluorescent streaks in flight are livid. Dancing where but once seen black, vested in yellow and green we track. Illuminance to background planes, a palette of colours upon sky rains in poems.
Gorgeous. I'm seeing her comment there and jealous myself that she's seeing it. I like the middle stanza.
Yeah.
As nightfall gathers pace well above, lights a presence in push and shove, beams and streaming. Two waves vivid, fluorescent streaks in flight are livid. I kind of like the idea of them being livid.
Well, they sort of activate.
It's giving the movement some attitude. I thought that was quite clever.
Yeah. Yeah. So I thought that worked okay. Hatter, what did you think?
Yeah, I agree with Deb. That center stanza to nightfall gathers. Is it seasonal too? Is it winter time for us? Would it be more intense than the summer?
If it is seasonal, depending on the solar winds, but I think it is seasonal, Hatter. But I will have to go and check for you. But I believe it is seasonal.
Because you can
go on trips to certain times to the northern lights. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because I was going to say, in the wintertime, you're talking, versus summer, you're talking 20 degrees below at certain places.
Yes. Yes.
I believe it is
the colder months, too, in the north.
I have a
feeling
I'm thinking that, too.
You have to get the winter woolies on, Adam, if you want to go up there. Jeez, I tell you. There's no gold up there, either. So, anyway, there's just lights. anyway.
And then you're going to get
now,
to the
winter. Adam.
Yeah,
we set you a task to have a topic for next week.
I was thinking, let's go karma, Aunt Karma.
Oh, karma!
Uncle Mojo and Aunt Karma.
We can do that. Yeah, we can do that. Karma, it is. Yeah, no disputes for me for that. Karma, it is. Meantime, we have got a poet called Mae Riley Smith, and she has poem called Aurora Borealis, which is up on the board, but I'm going to read now. It goes a little bit like this. The northern cheek of the heavens by a sudden glory kissed, blushed to the tint of roses and hid in an amber mist. And through the northern pathway, trailing a robe of flame, the queenly Borealis in her dazzling beauty came. I stood and watched the tilting of each dainty rosy lance as it seemed to pierce the bosom of an emerald expanse. And I thought, if heaven's gateway is so very fair to see, what must the inner glory of the many mansions be? I thought of the golden city where the wondrous lights unfurled, of its sea of clearest crystal, of its gates, each one a pearl. Thought till the glowing splendour had quietly passed us by, and the track of Aurora's chariot bleached out from the northern sky. End poem.
Thank you. That was an awesome read. Isn't that a great poem? I really love the idea of Aurora's chariot for some reason.
I really like that too. I love the idea of the chariot. Yeah, really cool.
And her flow and cadence and imagery, I just thought this was an exceptional poem, and I had to stick it on the board.
Yeah, no, the cadence was lovely. It's just got its own little rhythm going, Deb, which I think is really funky. So, there's something about that is really quite cool. And it just rolls down the page. Yeah.
You know, when you read something like this, this is a true poet, a well versed. Just flows.
Yeah, she was born in 1842.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Gorgeous work.
Yep. It is gorgeous work. You're right.
I appreciate you reading that.
No. Pleasure. So, I think, Deb, that we have gone and done the list, Hatter. We've done the list. We have worked out what we're doing for next week. We've done two poems each, which is not a bad effort. Deb's done two too, one of hers and one of trying to massage all of the 16 lines together that each of us did. And I should thank Steve
going
along. And
hold on.
We should do. What's going to be on though, Hatter? There's been no production planning on this. So tell me what we're going to do.
The next big fad for the common upper middle class is going to be security. It's going to be these cheap cameras that you can put all over and then read off your phone. It's going to be a big surge in that security. So I think we invest in some of the companies that manufacture these the cheap little GoPros. They don't have to be good as a GoPro, but the little cameras, they make them cheap, and that's going to be the next for security of your own home, your belongings. So, I think people will start wearing them.
I'm going to go one step further. Can I go one step further up the food chain, Hatter? Am I allowed to do that?
Okay.
Because I'm imagining that those cameras have chips in them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Microprocessors.
Yes.
Yeah. Because otherwise, they wouldn't be terribly clever, and you wouldn't be able to link anything to them. Yeah.
That's true.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Well.
So we do
those
the chips.
those microchips, we need the chips. We do. And unfortunately what's happened, well, fortunately, it depends on who you are really, but Taiwan is producing the vast majority of the microchips now in the world. Like 60-70% of the microchips are manufactured in Taiwan.
Wow.
And that would sort of be cool if they weren't a couple of hundred miles across from China, who reckons that they're one of their states. So there is a real issue with the, you know, globally with this, with the fact that, you know, most of the microprocessors are being produced by a country that according to the, one of the world's large powers, doesn't exist. So, I think the bigger issue is, you know, will we still have a country in Taiwan producing microprocessors in 5 years' time? Question.
Sounds almost like a monopoly to me, so we have to change that.
I think you're right, because at the minute we've got all the hotels and they're all on Mayfair, if you know what I mean. And if we don't have Mayfair or you stop on Mayfair, you're in all sorts of trouble, but you sort of stop in Park Lane or any one of the other 20 squares, you're okay until you don't have Mayfair. I think that's the big issue. I'm with you. I think security is going to be a big thing, and I'm with you. Those little, you know, little microprocessor cameras and stuff, I think that's great.
Yeah, not so much how well they work. It's just the feeling of security. People buy into that big time.
Oh, no, I agree with you. I think, you know, having the ability to watch things and monitor things, particularly when they're away from home, I think it's a big, big deal. But I think the issue is even bigger than that, and that is we need more people to be making microprocessors than what are making them today. And the US used to make 2/3 of them in the world, and now they're making about 20%. Mm-hmm. So we need the US to make more processors. Really.
I'll have my people call you, your people.
Yeah, no, we'll talk about that. We need to make some more as well, by the way. It's not just the US. Australia needs it too. But, you know, we need to get our bloody acts together, Adam. Now, that would be something to invest in. People setting up microprocessor companies. Yeah, that would be something to invest in. Anyway, there you go.
Yeah, that'd be a helpful.
So, with all of that, I think we might close, Hatter, and think about what we're going to do for Karma next week. We might have to go what's the name of Boy George? Boy George is the name of that performer that did Karma Chameleon, Deb.
Oh, yeah.
We might have to have Karma Chameleon as our theme. Yeah.
But there's also John Lennon's Instant Karma, just saying. But my battery's dying, guys. I got to go.
Okay, we're going to go too. So thanks, Deb. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Thanks, Hannah.
Thank you.
Always.
Yeah, thank you.
Always a pleasure. And we will be back with you. We'll be back with you in a week's time, Hatter, for Karma. Yep, for Karma. And until then, have a great week.
Yeah.
Hope good.
Yep. Thank you.
The process is even better. Thanks, Hatter. Talk to you soon, everybody. Bye.
Bye-bye.